Good morning. Two comments before we begin. One, some of the things that aggravate us the most and get us all upset shouldn't get us so upset. I was upset yesterday. Now, I'm not going to tell you all the reasons I was upset. That would take too long. And it was not because of my wife. No. Had absolutely nothing to do with that. But here it was. I was reading my Haaretz yesterday in the morning, and the editorial in Haaretz was, despite it all, Wagner should be played by the Philharmonic. Wait a minute. So they go through all of the, yes, we know the people who've gone through the show are, they're going to be upset by it, but listen, you know, they don't have to come. They don't have to come, but you can't stop people from listening to the great Yitzchak of Wagner. I come to the last paragraph, and I get so upset. This was enough to upset me for a whole day. It says the following: the struggle about whether to hear Wagner or not might very well upset people, and those who are revulsed or repulsed by Wagner, Yecholim leheyader meulam ha-festival. You don't have to be there in the hall. You don't have to listen to it. Ach haschut l'chazin lo, the right to listen to him, tzvicha lihishamer. You have to preserve the right to hear him. Ba'avur meya elef ha-yisraelim, for 100,000 Jews, meya elef yisraelim shebacharu, who chose Lirchosh Kartisim La Concert. 100,000 Jews purchase tickets for this concert. You cannot deny them the right to just one moment. Let me be upset. Not only that, I wanted you to be upset too. Why should I be the only one that's upset? And then in parentheses they have Shuhua Nimkarbio Deva Festival. This concert, there are more tickets were sold for this concert than anything else. Did I have enough right this whole day to walk around extremely upset? And then I get this morning's paper. This morning's paper, Haaretz, they have a notice of a correction.
Yeah.
It's not me, R.L.F. L.F. Just one little three-letter word. Ich hab gemeint that there are 100,000 Israelis that purchase tickets. You understand? I should have known that if there were no more than 30,000 or 40,000 Israelis at the Maccabi festival over there in Paris, there couldn't have been 100,000. What a difference. Huh? Only 9,000 Israelis in Paris. But a half a million in Kikar Rabin last night. Shandan Acharpa. They're shooting in Gilo, and 100,000 or 200,000 Jews out there. Alright, okay. Now I upset you for the day, that's alright. No, that's all. So one word, that's it. I just wanted to tell you how the difference of one word upset me a whole day, and it was... What are we to learn from this? You think I know what to learn from it? Don't read the Haaretz, that's one thing. And don't believe everything you read. Oh, that well, but I'm just okay. All right. No. I also huh?
They said
Ella,
maybe
Yiddish Ella. Yeah, no. Next. I don't want to be predictable. That's the second announcement. And I'll explain exactly what I mean. There are times at which my emotions get the best of me. And I just decided a few days ago, I imagine I was upset then, it started with the two boys in Tekoa. I got upset and I decided there's something that I wanted to do and then I want to share it with you. That's all. I'm not going to learn Parashat HaShavua. I'm going to learn a Perek in Tehillim. And there are many shuls in this country where this Perek Tehillim is said every morning at the end of davening. It's an amazing chapter, chapter 83. So we're going to learn chapter 83 of Tehillim. And if by the time we have finished it, we will know it, then it's saying it every day is going to be so much more meaningful. So sheet number one is chapter 83 in Tehillim. And the second sheet, there's a tremendous amount of information that is necessary in order to begin to comprehend the chapter. So that's all. I decided I just was going to be different, and I don't know, it did something for my neshama, and I hope it will do it for yours. Somehow or other, you have to keep the two sheets separate, because the text is on the first sheet, Shir Mizmor LaAsaf, 19 Psukim, a song for Asaf. Maybe what I'll do is I'll read through it quickly, and then we'll point out the major themes in this Perek Tehillim, and we're going to see who Asaf was. That's also part of the information that you will be given. Who was Asaf? Elokim al dami lach, God al dami lach, do not fall silent. Al techerash, do not be quiet. Va'al tishkot el, and do not be still. There is a difference, and we will get back to that when we go over the chapter. There's a difference between Domi, Techerash, and Tishkot, and all three of them have meaning in this chapter as they do in many other chapters. And if we understand the meaning of these words here, we will understand their meaning in many other places. Because you behold, your enemies are in an uproar, umisanecha, and those who hate you, nasu rosh, have raised their heads, which means here is going to be an extremely important theme. The enemies of Israel are your enemies. We are not saying to God, our enemies, but we're saying your enemies and those who hate you. Because any struggle against the Jewish people, and this is another theme that we will develop in a number of other places in Tanakh, any struggle against the Jewish people at its deepest level, it is a struggle against God. The struggle against the Jewish people is a struggle against the God of Israel. And if, God forbid, anything happens to us, it is a chilul Hashem, it is a desecration of God's name of the highest order. And therefore, it says, Al amcha ya'arimu sod, against your people, they plot, sod, all sorts of secrets are gathered. V'yit yatsua, they take counsel, al tzifunecha, against those, yes, tzifunecha, those who are protected or who are sheltered by you. And this word tzifunecha, it also means that which is precious to you. And the Mefarshim say that it means, therefore, not only do they plot against the Jewish people, but they plot to take Eretz Yisrael and Har HaBayit and Yerushalayim, tzifunecha, those parts of Eretz Yisrael, those things that are so precious to you. Amru, and they have said the following. I don't know why I said the pasuk often and just didn't occur to me. Amru, the Asaf in this chapter in Tehillim is putting words into the mouths of the enemies. By putting words, I don't mean it in the way that he's making it up, but he is telling us what the enemy truly plans. Amru, they said, Lechu v'nachachidei migoy, let us go and destroy them from being a nation. V'lo yizach er shem Yisrael od, and the name of Israel should never be mentioned again. We're talking about over here in one pasuk, Tehillim is telling us that the goyim have always planned a final solution. There's nothing more final than this. Lechu v'nachachidei migoy, let us go and completely destroy them from being a nation. That means as a totality, but that's not enough. They want to make sure that no individual Jew will remain alive, and therefore below Yizach, Hashem Yisrael Od, that the name of Israel should not be mentioned again. These are the plans of our enemies. And anybody who thinks that anything less than that is going to satisfy them is making a tragic and a fatal mistake. Because they have taken counsel with one heart together. And of course the Mepharshim are going to point out that here are nations that cannot unify or be one about anything except one thing. In their opposition to the Jewish people, it is one of the great rallying cries that unites them together. They hate each other, they despise each other, and yet, because they hate us more, that can be the factor that unifies them. And then there's Lev Yachdav, one heart together. But he says, do you think that the coalition of nations that is aligned against us is aligned against us? Olecha Brit Yichrotu, they have made a covenant against you, God, because they are Oyevecha, they are your enemies, they are Misamecha, they are those who hate you. And any struggle against the Jewish people is by extension a struggle against God himself. And then he begins to list the great coalition of nations that have joined against the Jewish people. Ohalei Edom, the Yishmaelim, the tents of Edom, and the Yishmaelim, Moav, the Hagrim. There are going to be 11 nations that are going to be listed here. And these 11 nations can be divided into, number one, they represent all of the directions around Eretz Yisrael, so they surround Eretz Yisrael, and there are those who are near and those who are far. There are the Krovim and the Rechokim. Olei Edom, the tents of Edom. Edom was to the south, and Yishmaelim was someplace to the south or southeast. Interesting, of course, that these are the first two who were not necessarily the greatest enemies of the Jewish people at the time that that this was written. Moab is to the east, the other side of the Jordan. Hagrim seem to be Bedouin or nomad tribes that came from Hagar, the wife of Abraham. So not only were they Yishmaelim, they were also Hagrim, and they're sort of all the way to the east, out in Saudi Arabia. Gvol, there were people Gvol that were someplace to the north. Ammon again is to the east. Amalek is to the south. Pleshet, Plishtim is to the southwest. Im Yoshvei Tzor is Tyre. That's the northwest corner of Eretz Yisrael. And Gam Ashur Nilva Imam. Ashur also has joined with them. And of all things, Hoyu Zrot Zroa Livnei Lot Sela. Now, it's obviously this is a period of time in which Ashur was not one of the great superpowers. It may very well be, even after the crushing defeat that Ashur suffered at the gates of Yerushalayim in the days of Chizkiyahu, at some later date and time, they also are going to join against the Jewish people. And they were Zroa Levnei Lot, they were the arms of the sons of Lot. So it seems that Ammon and Moab, that were the sons of Lot, they are the ones who are the instigators of this struggle. So now you have to understand two things. Number one, look, Asaf, who is writing this chapter of Tehillim, is obviously talking about some particular battle. But that's not enough to make it a chapter of Tehillim. To make it a chapter of Tehillim, it also has to be something that has eternal meaning and significance. So therefore, this chapter of Tehillim that was written then at the time of a particular threat to the Jewish people becomes part of Tehillim because it's something that has meaning throughout all of time. And of course we are the ones who bear the most eloquent testimony that 2,000, 2,500 or more years after this was written, it is as meaningful today and maybe more meaningful today than at the time that it was written, because there are psukim that have more meaning for us now than they could ever have had then. The lechu v'nachachidei migoy v'lo yizocher Shem Yisrael. Oh, that pasuk of the final solution is obviously something that has had more meaning in our time than at any other time. There were very few battles in ancient times when there was a coalition of nations that came against the Jewish people. There is one in the days of Jehoshaphat, king of Yehuda. There was a struggle that was initiated by Ammon and Moab from the family of Lot, and they did. There were those who became actively involved in the struggle against Israel, and then there were those who were passive, in other words, made sure that Jews would not be able to flee from the field of battle, so that it really turned out that when you take into consideration those who were actively involved in the struggle, and those who gave encouragement, and those who sent arms and weapons, and those who locked and sealed all of the borders so that no one can flee, they were, these 11 nations were involved. And there's no question about it that we are find ourselves precisely in the same position, maybe I don't know, maybe even worse. Asay lehem kimidyon kisisra chiyovin benachal kishon. So we pray to God, do to them what you did to Midyan. In the chapters 6, 7, 8 of Shoftim are the story of Gidon. Gidon was one of the judges who went to war against Midyan. Midyan had come with hundreds of thousands of men, and then we know the story of Gidon with his 300 men and their torches and their shofarot and their pitchers, the noise and the cacophony that they created. And of course it was Hashem who had told him that he was going to destroy Midyan. Sisra, of course, was the great battle that was waged by Dvorah and Barak ben Avinoam against Sisra. Sisra happened to have been the commander-in-chief of the forces of Yavin, Melech Kenan, who's mentioned in the pasuk, in the next pasuk, next to him in that pasuk. Asay lehem, do to them, to this whole coalition of nations that stands against us, do to them as you did to Midyan in the days of Gidon, and to Sisra and Yavin, what you did to Sisra and to Yavin in the days of Devorah and Barak. And where were they defeated? They were defeated in Nachal Kishon. Nachal Kishon is a river that's right near Haifa. Right near Haifa. It comes from Haifa and it flows eastward toward Emek Yisrael. And the battle took place by Nachal Kishon, and according to the Shira of Devorah, the Nachal overflowed just as the forces of Sisra were there and destroyed them, as though the heavens and nature itself waged war with them. Nishmedu be'Ein Dor, they were destroyed at Ein Dor. The Mefarshim are not clear what happened at Ein Dor, and what they assume therefore is that since Nachal Kishon goes from west to east, from Haifa along Emek Yisrael, it ends up near Ein Dor, so that this was the area of battle where Sisra and Yavin were destroyed. Hayu domin la'adama, they became like dirt or dust upon the earth. Shitemo nidivemo ka'odev v'chizdeev. We're going to get back to these words. They're very fascinating words. Shitemo nidivemo. Make their notable, their the nobles, make their nobles like Odev and Ze'ev and Zevach, Uchitzalmuna, Kol Nesichemo, all of their princes. There are four people mentioned in this pasuk: Odev and Ze'ev and Zevach and Zalmuna. All four of them were destroyed, killed. They were the nobles and the commanders of the forces of Midian that Gideon destroyed. Orev and Zev, and they were commanders. They were the Nedivim, the nobles, and Zevach the Talmuna, a Nasich. A Nasich is a prince. A Nadiv is a noble. The Nasich represents the fact that he is from royal lineage. So Zevach and Zalmunna were two princes who were killed by Gideon, and Orev and Ze'ev were two nobles. Do this to the enemies of Israel. Ah, Asher Omru, not only do they want to destroy the Jewish people, Asher Omru, and they have said, and here again Asaf tells us the words. They may not say it that openly, but you should know that this is precisely their plan. Asher Omru, they have said, Nirisholanu, let us inherit Eit Naot Elohim, the beautiful dwelling places of God. And here again the Mepharshim say, Naot Elohim, they are Eretz Yisrael, Yerushalayim, and Har HaBayit. We want it. This is what they are saying, and regardless what else they may say, this is the truth. Elohai, my God, Shitemo Chagalgal Kekash Lefnei Ruach. Shitemo, another word, this is the second time the word appears. It also appeared in Pasuk 12, and it's a strange structure, and we'll talk about that. Shitemo, make them Kagalgal. Kagalgal, translation says like the chef, or I think it's also like there's some kind of a flower, you know, that when the wind comes, it blows.
In America they call it tumbleweed.
Tumbleweed?
Right.
Oh yeah, cholia, something like tumbleweed that just goes rolling uncontrollably. Make them kagalgal. Always interesting when the psalmist uses imagery from nature. Make them chagalgal like this tumbleweed. They're just flying around in all directions. They cannot. They can't fight back. Kikash lifnei ruach. Make them like straw, like stubble before the wind, blown away. And then there are those, of course, that should be ke'esh tivar yar, like fire when fire consumes a forest, u'chileh hava, and flame tala'ehet harim, burns upon the mountains. Kein rebeini shalaylam, tir defei b'sa'arecha, you should pursue them with your storm, u'besufatcha tiva'aleim, and with your tempest, confuse them. Now there are those who say that a sufa may even be more than a tempest. I don't know, what does it say here? The Mepharshim say, and they use a Yiddish term for it, something like a tornado. In other words, a wind or a storm blows them in one direction, but the sufa keeps bringing them back and back again. Something like a tornado. Came to tear the famous Sarecho Bisufat Chotav Alein. Malei Pneim Kolon, fill their faces with shame, Vyavakshu, so that they will reach the point that they will seek Shimcha Hashem, your name, God. Yevoshu, let them be embarrassed and shamed, Vyibahalu, and confused and terrified forever, Vyachberu, Vyovedu. They should be disgraced and be lost. Gone. V'yedu. Here again. It says, they should know, Ki ata shimcha Hashem levadecha, You, God, your name alone, you are Elyon al Kol Haaretz, most high over the whole earth. So that basically what the psalmist is saying is, there is a plan, as there always have been, to destroy the Jewish people. There is a plan. This is what the nations plan, to take Eretz Yisrael away from us. And the theme is, of course, that Rebbeinu Shem, this is not only our struggle, this is your struggle as well, because we are your representatives upon the face of this earth. No greater desecration of God's name than the disappearance of the Jewish people. So therefore, you must come to our aid and our assistance. Let's take a look at right. Since the question was asked, who is Asaf? So if you take your second sheet, number 4, Mizmar, La Asaf. Asaf Hayahad Ishon Bishloshet Roshe Halavim Hamishodin Bime David. There were 3 head singers. Number 4. There were 3 head singers in the days of David, and Asaf was the first of those 3. They were Asaf, Heman, and Yedutun. There are chapters in Tehillim that were said by Asaf, Heman, and Yedutun. V'hu mityaches al Levim b'nei Gershon. Asaf was from the Levim, from the family of Gershon. Asaf nizkar kishutav shel David b'tikun seder shirat mizmorei Tehillim. Asaf is mentioned as one of the people who together with David composed Sefer Tehillim. Milvad mizmor zeh, aside from this one, yesh b'tehillim od 11 mizmorim shel Asaf, a total of 12. In addition to this chapter, there are another 11. V'heim 11 mizmorim harishonim shel Sefer Hashlishi shel Tehillim, ayin gimel to pei gimel. Pei gimel, the one we just learned, is the last. The last of the Mizmorim that was written by Asaf. Number 1, Das Mikra says the following. Lefanim, and this I didn't know. You know, I just went out on an investigation of this parak, and it says the following. Lefanim nahagul omar mizmor zeh bepurim. There was a time, there was a minute to say Pei Gimel on Purim. Mishum shenisketet bo mizimat hamalek lahashmidet Yisrael. Because what's mentioned over here is Amalek's plan to destroy the Jewish people. And this really is related to Purim. I mean, it could also be Shayach to Pesach, and there are problems in the original text where this is written. Line 4. Lefi minik hasfadim omrim mizmor zeh b'tzom gedalia ubetainet asfara b'teveit. Sfaradim, and when they say Sfaradim over here, they mean our Oriental brothers. That minik hasfadim is that they said this mizmor on tzom gedalia and on tainis on asfara b'teveit, but not on other fast days, because on other fast days they had different kapitla chavtilim that they said. V'yesh Mikihilot Ashkenaz Shomrim Mizmor Zeh B'chol Yom B'Siyum Tefilat Shachrit. And there are Ashkenaz, in other words, I would imagine that's us, that say it every day after davening Shachris. Now, the last 2 lines say B'yomenu, I didn't know this, Nahagim Lomar Mizmor Zeh B'Halvayat Shel Chalalei Tzvah Hagana L'Yisrael. By the funerals of Israeli soldiers, they say this. During Milchemet Yom Kippurim, they said Mizmor Pei Gimel. Many, many shuls began saying Pei Gimel early on in the present struggle. And there are another 2 chapters that I said every day, but this is the most important. We may yet talk about those other chapters. So that this is a chapter that we certainly should say every day, and I want you to say it every day, but I want you to understand some of the depth of this chapter. Elohim, Pasuk 2. Al Damilach I have part of the Malbim here, but let me just say the following. Al dummy, do not fall silent. So the Malbim explains that this means when sound ceases. There was sound, there was talk, and then not only pause, but more than pause, falling silent. Where do you have it in Torah? Vayidom Aaron. Aaron could very well have been speaking, and then all of a sudden he sees the tragedy that has befallen his two children. He falls silent. Al Techerash. Techerash means the following. Techerash, and in a sense, Echesheh. Another word, huh? Very good. Im hachadeish tachadisi leis hazos mid Mordechai says it to Esther. Tov meod. Im hachadeish tachadisi beit hazot. If you will remain silent at this time, zevach v'atzolo yamod la Yehudim mimakom achem. So you know what hachadeish means? When a response is called for, you should speak out. You should say something. Don't withhold yourself from that. Number one, don't fall silent. Number two, that which requires a verbal response, do it. And then Baltishko Tail, not enough to respond, but response also has to be with action. You have to do something. Baltishko Tail, I haven't seen them in fortune, but I believe that Tishkot always means from action. If you look in Sefer Shoftim, it Vatishkot ha'aretz arba'im shana. After the great struggles in the days of each Shofet, it says the land was quiet. So it's not talking about quiet from sound, but there was no longer any military activity. Al Tishkot Gael means don't withhold yourself from action. We need not only that you should respond verbally, we need that you should respond with action. On the next side, and by the way, this may also very well be one of the reasons why I chose to learn this parak this week. This is also in preparation for Yom Yerushalayim. You know that I'm not going to be here next week. Rabbi Adler is going to take my place because I've been invited by the Los Angeles Jewish community to having a citywide Yom Yerushalayim celebration, and they've asked me to be the guest speaker. The only thing I would leave Yerushalayim for Yom Yerushalayim is only to speak about Yom Yerushalayim. To speak out, okay? All right? That's all.
Techerash is also
chidesh,
can't speak.
Oh, can't hear. Chidesh is one who can't hear. Al techerash kail. Don't fall deaf that you don't hear. You have to hear, but you also have to respond. And number 10 on the second side, we have the great psukim. Leman tzion lo echesheh, u leman Yerushalayim lo eshkot. God says, for Zion's sake I will not be silent. So once we understand the meaning of these two words, it means number one that the Rebbe will speak out, he will respond on behalf of Yerushalayim, but he will also take action, because Leman Yerushalayim Eshkot means Sheket, means not to take action. So you see, we make the mistake also of thinking, you know, I don't know, when a teacher says Sheket, it may be the incorrect word. Should say dummy. Oh, that's not good. I don't think I like that. Or Chosh, or something of that sort. But Sheket means, like if the kids are fighting around in class, then you can say Sheket. That would be the correct use of Sheket. Because Sheket represents the idea of action. Vatishkot ha'aretz. Leman Yerushalayim lo eshkot ad yetzei kano gatzitka v'yeshuata. Until her righteousness shall go forth like a bright light, v'yeshuata, and her salvation shall be like a burning torch, like a burning torch. If you take a look at the next psukim down there that are underlined, Al Chamotayach Yerushalayim Ifkadet Yisharim, God says, upon your walls, Yerushalayim, I have appointed guardians, Kol Ayom V'Kol HaLayla, all day, all night, Tamid Lo Yecheshu, the guardians of Yerushalayim will not be silent. Hamaskirim Et Hashem, those who mention God's name, Al Dom Milachem, don't stop. Keep saying, Leman Hashem, Be'ezrat Hashem, Im Yit Hashem. Keep saying it. Val Titnu Damilo. Don't let God remain silent. Okay? That's Yeshayahu chapter 62. Now, once we're on this side, if you take a look at number 8 at the top, there's a very beautiful parish on Tehillim and all of Shas for that matter by the Meiri, one of the Rishonim, and he says Mizmor La'Asaf Amru B'Kavanat Zeh HaMizmor, the Mefarshim has said in the meaning of this Mizmor Shehu Nemar Al Melchemet Yehoshaphat Kemo Shekatuv B'Divrei HaYamim, that it was talks about a battle that took place in the days of Yehoshaphat, as it says in Divrei Ha'am, Shabol Olav B'nei Seir V'Amon U'Moav V'Nitlaktu Imam Harbe Min Ha'umad Mishchineim, that the Amon and Moav joined against him, and the Psukim there in Divrei Ha'amim 2, chapter 20, they describe an entire coalition of nations that comes against Yehoshaphat. V'Hanire, the Meiri sometimes in one line, just cuts through all of the Mefarshim and comes straight to the point. Va'anira, and it seems ki hu nemar al zeh ha'galut, on the galut in which we find ourselves, shekein ha'umot maskimot, because there is agreement by all of the nations, lahor alanu, to do evil to us, ulahachidenu mehayot, and they want to destroy us from being, from existing. Back over to the first side. Two things I must say before we finish this shiur. Number one, I want you to recall something that we said in a shiur earlier this year. Third pasuk says, "Ki hinei oyevecho yehamayun," your enemies make a lot of noise. Umesamecho nosu rosh, and those who hate you have lifted their heads. We differentiated earlier this year between the term oyev and the term sone. And by the way, this idea that the enemies of Israel are the enemies of God, of course, receives its greatest expression in Vayehi bin Soa Ha'orom Vayome Moshe Kumo Hashem V'yofutzu Oyevecha V'yonusu Misanecha Mipanecha, precisely the two words that we have here. And we differentiated then between an Oyev and a Sonei, that the hatred of an Oyev is, or the enmity of an Oyev is that which, when he is in close proximity with the Jew, that you know, if he doesn't hear no Jew, see no Jew, he can survive. But it is being in the close proximity of a Jew that he's a neighbor. The Oyev is usually a neighbor. A Sone is one whose hatred knows no boundaries. He may be distant from. He may never have seen a Jew in his life, and he hates and he despises them. I don't know how many people out there in Upper Slobovia or Lower Mongolia or China ever saw Jews, but they have precisely the same feelings about Jews. And I bring in number 2 that which we had said earlier in the year. Rashi says, V'yofutsu ayivecha Hamechunasin, those who are gathered in, V'yonusu misanecha Elu harotfin, those who are the pursuers. What does Rashi mean by this? With the definition that has been given, we can understand Oyevecha mechunasin, those who live close by. And that brings out all of their eiva, all of their enmity. But there are also the sonim, those who pursue. They will follow the Jew to the ends of the earth in order to destroy him. Yofutsu oyevecha v'yonusu misanecha mipanecha. I'm now going to recall something that we learned some years ago, and that's going to explain a number of amazing things in this chapter. In Pasuk Yud Bet and in Pasuk Yud Dalet, we come up against a strange kind of term. In Pasuk Yud Bet, it says, Shitemo Nidivemo Ke'orev v'chizeev u'chizevach u'chizalmuna kol nisichemo. What kind of word is Shisemo Nidivemo Nisichemo? And we have it again in Pasuk Yud Dalet. Elokai Shitemo. Shitemo means to make him. So, Sameim. Sameim. Shitame. Not Shitemo. Nidivame. Not Nidivemo. So, I want to explain this with something that we said some years ago. And I have the text, and we're not going to go through the whole text, but part of it, and that will explain a number of other things. And all of this is l'chvod Hashem Yom Yerushalayim. Number three is the Ksav HaKabbalah. It's one of my favorite pieces in the Ksav HaKabbalah. It's on the Shira in Parashat B'Shalach. In the Shira, Yochlemo Kakash, Havavno Sefet, V'chein. In Oz Yoshe, there are 7, 8 strange words. You hardly find them in all of Tanakh. Yochlemo, let him be consumed like straw. Tivlo Emo, Tori Shemo, Kisomo, Tivi Emo, Vitito Emo. What are all these verbs? All it should have said is, if you're talking about the waters covering the Egyptians, Kasem, cover them. They should be swallowed up, Tivla Aim. They should be consumed by fire, Yochleim Kakash. What's the Yochleim Mo? Kisa Mo. You want to say, bring the Jewish people to Eretz Yisrael and plant them there? Tivi Aim, bring them, Vetita Aim, and it plant them. What's to be a mo? Vitita a mo. So all of the Farshim say on these 8 words that the vav is an unnecessary vav. Like, I shouldn't say unnecessary. It's added for some kind of a poetic flair, or yes, emphasis, whatever you want. And it adds something to the poetry. Along comes the Ksav HaKabbalah, and he says something like, from the first time I studied this, I've been so impressed by it, and I have used it to explain other parts of Tanakh, and I'm using it in this chapter as well. He says the following: a mem at the end of the word usually means rabim, plural. A vav at the end of a word means a singular. Oto, right? Him. Haim, them. Mem always represents plural. Vav represents singular. All of these words, he says, is a contraction of 2 words. The 2 words are the singular and the plural. Yochleim, let the fire consume the enemy, or yoch or ochlo, to eat him. And what's the point of it all? Though they are many, for God it's going to be as though it's one. The whole mass of the enemy will be consumed and will be destroyed as though they were one. It's a contraction incorporating within one word, Yachid and Rabim, the singular and the plural. So that's to bring them, him, to Eretz Yisrael, the Jewish people, and plant them, him, in the land, as though they're one person. You can do it. You can do it. And then he says, he wants to explain another fascinating word, and this is down toward the bottom. In Hallel we say, B'chatzrot Beit Hashem, B'tocheichi Yerushalayim. What does the word B'tocheichi mean? Have you ever heard a word like that? If it means that the courtyards of God are in Yerushalayim, so it should have said B'chatzrot Beit Hashem, B'tocheich Yerushalayim. B'tocheich in your midst. What does B'tocheichi, what's the Yud doing there? So he says, there is another kind of contraction, another kind of of bringing two words together by taking second person and third person and putting them into one word. You, or first and second, you and I. You and I. B'tocheich. Say the courtyards are betocheich in you, Yerushalayim, or the courtyards are betochi in me. So he says the word betocheich Yerushalayim means not only am I in Yerushalayim, but Yerushalayim is in me as well. So I therefore wanted to explain another amazing word, and you have it in number 5 in Al Naharot Bavel. Im Eshkachech Yerushalayim, you see it over there, number 5? Im Eshkachech Yerushalayim, if I forget Yerushalayim, I'm swearing that let my tongue stick to the talit of my mouth if I don't remember you. Im lo ez kereich. What's ez kereich? So he says, nah. I think the pshat over here is taking the Ksava Kabbalah. It works two ways. Not only do I remember you, Yerushalayim, but you remember me too. It works both ways. Me and you, all one. I don't know. I have a feeling that Yerushalayim may very well, in the last number of months, have saved Klal Yisrael for having made a terrible, tragic mistake. If not for the struggle over Yerushalayim, who knows? Who knows what a previous government might have done? Yerushalayim has in a sense saved us. That's the meaning of the word Im lo ezkereichi. I remember you, and you remember me. Now, once I have the Ksava Kabbalah, who says that this is not the extra vav or the yud, is not simply some kind of a poetic flair, but rather it means a contraction of two words, and it can either be a contraction of yachid and rabim, the plural and the singular, as all of the 8 words in Oz Yasher, that now you'll be able to say Oz Yasher every morning and know exactly what it means. An amazing understanding of these words. So therefore, it's quite obvious that that's exactly what's being said in our chapter Pei Gimel. Shitemo nidivemo. Shitemo means make them him. All of the enemies as though they are one. Destroy them as though they are one. Nidivemo, nidivem means they're nobles. You know what their nobles are before you? Kielu, as though they are one noble. Nidivo, that's it, one. Kol nesichemo, a nasich is a prince. The plural of princes is nesichim. The singular of princes could be nesicho. Aim. And by the way, it's fascinating, therefore, that the singular, the vav that represents the singular, comes at the end of the pasuk, at the end of the word. That means if you have a plural, do you know what the word is doing? It's taking the plural and turning it all into one singular. Because Yud Ben Yishalem, the numbers make absolutely no difference. They can be all the nedivim and the nesichim in the world, and the 4 you, they are but one. And therefore, the same thing with Shisemo Kargalgal. There is the same word itself. one final point, and we still haven't finished, but that's the way life is. You know, we just keep going along. The Ammon and Moab figure very, very prominently. There's a Rashi in Yeshayahu, and that's number 6 on your sheet. Ammon and Moab were mishpucha, and therefore we find in the Nevi'im that special condemnation is uttered against Ammon and Moab. And there's a Rashi in Yeshayahu, Alashi Yitra Asa, because, and it's talking about Ammon and Moab, you'll see in a moment, what they did that was so terrible, Tavo Alav Hapuranot Hazeh, let this punishment come, Shahayu Kfuye Tova, because they were ungrateful. Shahadei Bekama Mekamot Amad Avraham Lelot, there were so many times that Avraham stood by Lot, stood by him in and placed his own life in grave danger. But say Tomei Haran, when he left Haran, Ubelechto Lemitzchayim, when he went to Egypt, Ubezchuto Shulach Mitoch Ha'Avecha, and it is in the skut of Avram that Lot was saved from Sodom and Amora. V'nilcham Olav, and he went out to war, waged war with Amraphel, the Chaver of the four kings, in order to save Lot. V'hoyolam Lidmol Tova Lazaro, they should have done good for the children of Avram. V'heim hoyu monim otam, and they taunted them, and he brings the terrible taunt that was as Jews were being taken out to exile to Babel. So they stood by the side of their road and they said, well, you're going home, that's where Avram came from, up there in Mesopotamia. What a terrible, terrible thing for them to say, you know, Jew, go home. As the Jewish kingdom and commonwealth comes crushing to a destructive end, and there they are, off they go, and they tell them, go back home, Yudin, Raus. When Sancherev sent Reuven and Gad, Jews cried and moaned, and they said to them, Ammon and Moab said to them, Amatem etonim, what are you complaining about? Vahalolu beit avichem atem holtem, you're going back home. That's right, I want to go home back to the place where Avram came. Avram avichem, lo me Eivor Hanor, but didn't your father Avram come from Eivor Hanor, the other side of the river? So here it is, that's why they are singled out. I would suggest, maybe we'll have another opportunity to go through a number of other things, but the basic things of the Perek we have learned, and I suggest that you say it every day, maybe we'll get an opportunity to learn the other two chapters. There are 3 Kapitel of Tillim that are said every day. Okay. Kuf Chav Bet and Kuf Mem, I believe. Wait a minute, just let me, for Rabbi Gordon is here.